Hi there, everyone, and welcome to Bible Talk. It's a podcast where we read the Bible.
And then we get all excited talking about it. It's a podcast for everyday people, like you and me.
Indeed.
John 7, 45. Ivy.
Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, well, why didn't you bring him in? No one ever spoke the way this man does, the guards replied. You mean he's deceived you also? The Pharisees retorted. Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? No, but this mob that knows nothing of the law, there's a curse on them. Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, does our law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing? They replied, are you from Galilee too? Look into it, and you will find that a prophet does not come out of Galilee. Then they all went home.
Yes. So, remember Nicodemus from John chapter 3.
Yes.
He has this great conversation about being born again.
Mm-hmm.
And as the temple guards are reporting back to the priest. Now, these are not Roman guards. These are guards, religious guards, who guard at the temple.
Yes.
They get asked, you know, where's Jesus?
Why didn't you bring him here?
But as the last part that we read before in a previous podcast, they wanted to grab a hold of him, but couldn't do it. It wasn't Jesus' time.
Right.
And they, by the way, weren't sold that they should be bringing him in, because they actually voiced an opinion in verse 46.
They sure did.
Right? What did they say?
They said, look, we've never heard anybody teach like this.
He was different.
Mm-hmm. He was way different. And they're like, okay, all right, so you're deceived too. That was the first thing that the Pharisees jumped to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So growing interest didn't pique the Pharisees into saying, hey, maybe we should take a deeper look. Right?
No.
They were just set in their ways. And then Nicodemus, who is a member of the Jewish ruling council, in verse 50,
right,
says, hey, I think we might be overstepping. I'm paraphrasing. But
mm-hmm.
Let me just ask you, did I miss it? Do we have a law that condemns someone first?
Right.
Without hearing them to find out what they're doing, to get their perspective?
Yes.
It's a rhetorical question.
His wisdom,
Nicodemus,
is clear. Yes.
That there is no such law that would mm-hmm. condemn a man first. And so he's saying, look, you're overreaching by trying to arrest him and condemn him.
Right.
Right. First, you got to question him. And what's their response to him in verse 50?
Pretty similar to their response to the temple guards, which is, okay. All right. What, are you from Galilee? You know, kind of in a what seems to be a mocking way. And then they just kind of put it on him. They're like, okay, you look into it, and what you're going to find out is that there's not a prophet that comes out of Galilee.
Yeah. So they accuse, you know, Nicodemus of essentially being soft. Oh, you believe in him now too?
Right.
Are you from Galilee too?
Mm-hmm.
In essence, which again, making assumptions without doing adequate research, these persecutors missed the fact that Jesus actually was born in Bethlehem. And if they had taken a look at the Psalms of David, they would have seen that, oh, that's exactly where the Messiah was supposed to come from.
What?
Oh, maybe. It could have been credible.
Kids, right.
Do your homework.
Well.
All right, that's just public service announcement. Do your homework. For making accusations. Okay. Verse 53 says, then each went to his own home. And then we get into John chapter 8, which in the earliest manuscripts of Scripture, verses 1 through 8, 1 through 11, actually, aren't in the earliest manuscripts, but they are in almost all the manuscripts from about the 7th century onward. So I don't think we've got to worry as to whether it's spurious or not.
No. I
don't know what spurious is. It's a great opportunity for you to Google it.
Do your homework. Back to the other point.
This is a podcast for everyday people.
Everyday people, man.
What am I using the word spurious for? Shame on me.
Oh, my gosh. I think what's interesting, though, in regards to this text not being in the earliest manuscripts, could we imagine this scenario happening? Yes, we could.
Mm-hmm.
Do we see other interactions with
Nothing
Jesus?
Seems inconsistent
no, so, like you said, nothing spurious. I'll Google that while you read. No, I'm just kidding.
But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him. And he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and Pharisees found him there and brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and the law of Moses were commanded to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him.
Right.
But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept questioning him, he straightened up and he said to them, "If any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." He again stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin."
Okay. Well, there's a lot of good stuff there.
A lot to talk about.
We read it, and we're going to talk about it. So they're still trying to trap Jesus, and he is sitting down in the temple courts trying to teach. And then the teachers of the law bring in this woman, not the man and the woman who were caught in adultery, of course, just the woman, bring her to Jesus, throw her down in front of him, and intend to trap him in front of all of these people so that they can have a witness and trap him. But I think the first thing that stuck out to me was the interaction specifically between Jesus and the woman.
Okay.
And that is, where are they? Who's condemned you? And she looks around and she doesn't see anyone because the wiser ones all the way to the younger ones have already dropped their stones and gone home. And he says, "Then neither do I condemn you, but leave your life of sin." And this reminds me of John chapter 5, okay, the healing at the pool, when Jesus encounters the man that he'd already healed. And he said, "Okay, now stop.
Before
something worse happens to you." And I think a lot of times there is a gospel that preaches, come to Jesus as you are. He accepts you exactly as you are, which is very true. But he has no intention of leaving you where you're at. Absolutely not. A life should walk away from Jesus utterly changed. And I think in both of these instances, what you see is Jesus absolutely accepting an individual where they're at, and yet at the same time calling them out of their sin in order to follow him.
Yeah, terrific.
You know?
I on that note, the Pharisees weren't wrong, even though they had ulterior motives, mm-hmm, to why they were bringing this woman to Jesus. They were just trying to use it as a way to gauge, is he going to be tough on sin? Does he care about any part of the law?
Right, exactly, yeah. Right,
let's bring him something he has to have some conviction on.
Mm-hmm.
And then see what he does.
Right.
But, you know, the Pharisees weren't wrong. This woman
was caught. Yeah.
Their judgment wasn't incorrect. And Jesus didn't say, no, the law doesn't say that. Matter of fact, he says, all right, but I just want to say that we can stone her as long as the one who's without sin casts the first stone. Knowing that they weren't without sin, each of them goes away.
Yes.
But the judgment isn't the problem. They judged correctly. She was wrong. And the law did say stone her.
Mm-hmm.
However, the only one worthy to throw a rock chose instead to call her to repent.
Yes.
Pretty cool.
It is amazing. It is. It's beautiful.
Verse 12, chapter 8, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid, because in order for it to be valid, you got to have
two or more witnesses. Yes.
Jesus answered, even if I am testifying on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from. And I know where I'm going, but you have no idea where I came from or where I'm going. Mm. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. So, like you said, it's this theme, it's thematic. Each of these interactions, it's like Jesus is trying to elevate their thinking to a spiritual level.
Right.
They are really programmed or dialed into this channel of judging on a very...
on appearances only.
Appearance only kind of level.
Yes.
Verse 16, but if I do judge, my decisions are right because I am not alone. I'm not just giving you the testimony of one. I stand with the Father. He's my second witness who sent me. Verse 17, in your own law, it is written that a testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they ask him, well, where's your Father? Maybe they get the idea that he's talking about the Almighty, but they're just wanting to get him to, like, say it outright.
Say it. Right.
Where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area, near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one sees them because his time had not yet come. They had figured out they couldn't catch him.
Right, right.
Unless he was wanting to surrender, they weren't going to be able to grab him.
Yeah.
All right. You want to pick it up in verse 21, love?
Absolutely. Once more, Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that what he says? Where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are from below, I am from above. You are from this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. Who are you? They asked. Just what I've been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied.
Several chapters now, yeah.
I have much to say in judgment of you. But he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. No one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many believed in him.
All right, so it's that last verse in particular, interesting. There is a current of these Pharisees and teachers and people within earshot who are beginning to piece it together, to understand, to put faith in, like, hey, wait a minute.
Right.
I think I believe him. I think I believe the miracles. I think I believe the things he's saying. This actually might make more sense than all the methods we've been trying to use to explain God and bring God to people leading up to this, which is pretty encouraging.
Yes.
In the section that you just read, was there a particular insight that you wanted to share? If not, it's okay.
I think in verse 24 and a little bit further up in verse 20, I'm going away and you will look for me and you will die in your sin. And then in verse 24, I told you that you would die in your sins. And I think...
if you don't believe.
Right, if you don't believe. And I think over and over again, what you see from Jesus is the Father's desire for more than just judgments and law and keeping those laws, all your ducks in a row. What he wants is to free people from their bondage, from their sin. And these Pharisees and teachers of the law and those who were in that company of people didn't even know that they were chained. And I think it's what really strikes me is how he mentions this in just this very short conversation with the Pharisees. And essentially, you can almost see it as a pleading. I am warning you, you are going to die in your sins. You're going to miss me completely. And you're the one that are supposed to help people to understand God.
Mm. And so if you miss it, by virtue of you missing it,
yes,
the people who you're supposed to be helping, so many of them are also going to miss it. There's a lot on the line.
So much on the line there. Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap that podcast up.
Okay. Thanks so much for joining us today. We'll see you next time. And as a reminder,
do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says.